Welcome to Ringside with AFD, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Avalanche beat writer for ColoradoHockeyNow.com podcaster here at Mile High Sports, coming to you Wednesday, February the 5th. The Avalanche have an off day today in the middle of their three-game road trip after getting shut out. Boy, was that an embarrassing game against the Vancouver Canucks, 3-0 on Tuesday, heading into a back-to-back starting in Calgary on Thursday, Edmonton on Friday, and then going right into the Four Nations face-off break. The Avalanche were riding high coming off of their two-game homestand where they had two consecutive shutouts and turned that into a very, very frustrating 3-0 shutout loss to the Vancouver Canucks. There's a whole lot wrong with this team right now, and during the homestand, I think I mentioned it on the last podcast, there were a few things that just didn't look great about the team, but given the fact that we're about to have the Four Nations break and given the fact that there is going to be a lot to talk about with not a lot to talk about because not a lot of games will be played, I'm going to save the more broad and more lengthy conversations of how the hell do you fix this for the break of February 8th to February 21st. Because I need some things to fill in that time, and I don't want to go on a big rant right now about what the Avalanche should do and then have nothing to talk about during the break. So what we're going to do today, it's going to be a quick one. I'll be lucky if I hit 15 to 20 minutes. We're going to talk about that game against the Vancouver Canucks, and we're going to talk about how goddamn frustrating it was. So starting from the top, the first period was great for the Avalanche, and I thought they really imposed their will on the Vancouver Canucks. The top line, like I wish it was more consistent, but that top line has some shifts, and there was one in the second period too where, good God, are they fast? Are they great? Do they cycle the puck well? Kale McCarr gets involved. You see Netches at the point, and then McKinnon at the point, and then McCarr's in front of the net and, or, you know, circling the net or on the wing, and just kind of all five guys just cycling. Obviously, Devon Taves is part of it. Sometimes Sam Girard is on there, or Josh Manson, and they just cycle so well. And McKinnon and Netches, you would think that they've been playing together for years in those shifts. But in other shifts, they don't really have that kind of flair. They don't have that chemistry. And it kind of goes back to what Chris McFarland said about the team just not being deep enough, because the shifts where those guys don't have it, it looks like the Avalanche don't have it. So McKinnon, or not McKinnon, McCarr and Netches both hit the post a couple times in that period, in the first period. And it kind of looked like, you know, we're gonna get there. We're gonna have a strong period where Thatcher Demko makes a few good saves. His post bails him out a little bit, but the Avalanche are gonna come out in the second period. They're gonna get there. Mackenzie Blackwood hasn't let in a goal in seven consecutive periods. Now you're feeling good. But then the second period starts. Jake DeBrus scores that goal 4 minutes in. You know, coming off that power play that extended into the second period that the Vancouver Canucks did not score on, but got a lot of momentum from. And they kind of rode that the rest of the way. They rode the fact that they were able to keep the Avalanche on their heels, get some offensive zone time, eventually get that goal, take a 1-0 lead, and then they just wanted to shut it down the rest of the way. I don't blame them, just given the fact that, you know, things haven't gone great for Vancouver in recent weeks, both on and off the ice, outside of a couple of wins in a row. But they needed a win in the worst kind of way, especially post JT Miller trade. They needed that kind of a game big time. So DeBrusk makes it 1-0. The Avalanche keeps going. And, you know, I'm going to go back to that shift. The top line, Lehkonen, McKinnon, Rantan. Force of habit. Sorry, guys. Netches, McCarr, Taves, they were cycling the puck. They were getting opportunities. McKinnon to Lehkonen stopped like highway robbery type of save from Thatcher Demko to keep them ahead. And it just kept going on and on and on. And then the period ends. You get to the third period thinking, all right, this game is still within reach. Granted, at the same time, physically, the Vancouver Canucks were starting to give it to you a little bit. You needed to rely on Mackenzie Blackwood. He faced 15 shots and made 14 saves in that second period. But the Avalanche had 11 shots. He had 21 after two periods. You're feeling good. You come out for the third period, down a goal, looking to tie this baby up. It's a one goal game. Like, it is well within reach. And you get four shots. And it's not just that you get four shots, it's how it all went down. So, not Elias Pettersson, the one that we've been hearing in the trade rumors, the centerman who's had 100 points before, but Elias Pettersson, the young 20-year-old defenseman whose name is spelled the exact same way, was throwing his body around, and the Avalanche had no response for it. In fact, the only response they had for it was to do stupid shit and take dumb penalties, and obviously I'm looking at you, one Miles Wood. So Pettersson plays 13:57. He lays out Logan O'Connor a couple times. Did the officiating kind of suck where you gotta, you know, you gotta make a call eventually on Vancouver. You gotta knot things up a little bit and not, you know, put the Avalanche, for example, on a 4-minute PK on that play where Ross Colton ate a cross check slash punch to the face from Nils Höglander while everything was going on. Yes, of course. But when you put a target on your back for the officials, not for another player, and you go at it again and again and again. Officials are human, and it sucks to suck to say this, but it is the reality. They're coming after you. Miles Wood fought Derek Forbert in the second period. He goes after Elias Pettersson after he staples Logan O'Connor into the boards. From what I remember, was a clean hit. Don't quote me on that. I haven't looked back at the replay, but it felt like a clean hit at the time. And Logan O'Connor was getting in the young defenseman's face, and Miles Wood comes in. Completely unnecessary. There's a fine line between standing up for a teammate and being there for him and not taking an unnecessary, stupid penalty when you're down a goal in the third period trying to tie it up. Yes, Logan O'Connor got hit hard. Yes, you want to set a tone. But to cross-check a player and break your stick on him, that's not the way to go about it. He hits you, go back and hit him. Logan O'Connor jumped right back up. Logan O'Connor can hold his own. It was unnecessary for Miles Wood to do anything more than to get in the kid's face, maybe throw a couple of words his way, intimidate him a little bit, and move on. He takes the penalty. 7 minutes into the third period, suddenly the Avalanche are killing a penalty, and for whatever reason, karma does this. It's the beautiful game of hockey. The dumb penalties are always the hardest ones to kill off, and the Avalanche didn't kill this one off. The Vancouver Canucks got a 2-0 lead, and for whatever reason, that made the Avalanche spiral. That was game over. That was it. That was all they could handle. They go down 2-0. And there is plenty of hockey left to play. And when I say plenty of hockey, we're talking 11 minutes and 40 seconds. And given the talent you have on this team, 11 minutes and 40 seconds is enough time to erase a 2-goal deficit, trail again, tie it up again, get a lead, and score an empty netter. Like, a lot can happen in 11 minutes. That is not a little bit of time. Especially given the team you're facing. Yes, Thatcher Demko was on his game, but eventually you can break the guy. But they were unable to do that. So game continues. And about 5 minutes after that goal, actually 4 minutes after that goal, you get another play where Miles Wood gets called for holding, you know, trying to trail back and stop a break the other way after a turnover. I want to say Josh Manson had the turnover. I don't remember. But Vancouver's coming back the other way, and Miles Wood is just hooking and clutching and holding the forward. I forget who it was, stopping him from getting a one-on-one opportunity on Mackenzie Blackwood to make it 3-0. Okay, great. Miles Wood is going to the box for holding. It's a penalty you have to take. Is it ideal? No, of course not. But then as he's skating to the box, and the fact that he's frustrated, he's already had a fight, he's already gotten a cross-checking minor for that other play, and then he obviously got offsetting him and Elias Pettersson in that 7-minute mark penalty where he got cross-checking. Him and Elias Pettersson each also got 2 minutes for roughing, so Juuso Pärssinen served the extra 2 minutes. Obviously, Vancouver scored on that power play, made it 2-0. Now it's 4 minutes later. You've already had a fight. You've already had that happen, all within the last, you know, 15 to 20 minutes of game time. Late in the second period, you had the fight. Somewhere before the midway point of the third period, you had the cross check and the roughing offsetting with Elias Pettersson. The Vancouver Canucks are still throwing their body around. I think Pettersson had 2 hits on O'Connor, not just one. He had another one later on. And you get called for holding while you're on your way to the box. You slash I think it was, oh my God, what's his name? Carlson, Linus Carlson. You slash him as he skates by, boneheaded play, stupid penalty to take. And then everybody gets into it. And Tyler Myers, who had grabbed Ross Colton eventually, and Miles Wood both get offsetting roughing minors. Oh, and obviously Ross Colton got a minor as well there. So where do you end up? Sorry, the offsetting minor was not to Wood. It was to Colton. Colton and Tyler Myers get offsetting minors for roughing. Miles Wood gets the initial hold and then the slash on Linus Carlson. So the Avalanche got two for holding, two for slashing, both by Miles Wood. One of them in play. The other one slashing for no good reason, spearing Linus Carlson. Everybody gets into it. Tyler Myers and Ross Colton grab each other, and they each get 2 minutes. And obviously, Miles Wood also gets a 10-minute misconduct. That doesn't necessarily have any effect on power plays. So the 4 minutes to Miles Wood is the difference. You have a 4-minute PK. Nils Höglander punched Ross Colton in the face. He didn't get anything. But again, when you have a target on your back and you're doing stupid shit after the whistle, like cross-checking a guy and breaking your stick on him, and then slashing another guy after the whistle, after you've already been called for holding, as you're skating to the bench, you got a target on your back from the officials. And Miles Wood had a target on his back from the officials and let that continue to happen. 4-minute PK, the Avalanche somehow miraculously kill it off. Somewhere in that process, Cale Makar also gets called for hooking. I didn't like that call either, I will admit. So they kill off a 4-minute PK that included 2 minutes of 5-on-3 mixed in. Basically, you're killing any chance of, you know, you're still down 2 goals. This isn't just about weathering the storm of the PK. This is about you're killing valuable time. You're killing a penalty, but you're also killing valuable time that was remaining on the clock for you to tie the game. Makar comes out. Poor Juuso Parsonen served 6 minutes of PP of penalties for Miles Wood in this game. Finally comes out of the box. The Avalanche try a late push, get nothing out of it. Empty netter for Drew O'Connor, his first goal with the Vancouver Canucks with 9 seconds left. Assisted by Filip Hedl, who also came in those two trades late last week. And of course, Tyler Myers gets the secondary assist. Thatcher Demko, who faced 21 shots in the first two periods, who saw the Avalanche skating circles around Vancouver on many, many shifts and had several opportunities to, you know, go up ahead by two, but get one or two or three past Thatcher Demko and couldn't do it. The goalie that was standing on his head, who had a 1-0 lead entering the third period, eventually a 2-0 lead for pretty much the entire game until that empty netter. Facing an Avalanche team who was one of the highest scoring third period teams and a really good comeback team, faced 4 shots in the third period. So there you have it. Miles Wood took 5 penalties in the third period. Let me narrow it down. Miles Wood took 4 minor penalties in the third period. And the Avalanche had 4 shots in the third period. Complete disaster. After the game against the Flyers, I referenced this last game and in my post-game article. I referenced it in my podcast, and I'm talking about last game as in the Philadelphia game. And I referenced it again yesterday in my writing. The Colorado Avalanche's front office and their coaching staff were not happy with Miles Wood. This I can confirm. We're not happy with Miles Wood behind the scenes for the unnecessary late offensive zone penalty he took against the Philadelphia Flyers. We're talking about a game where Colorado won for the second game in a row with a shutout. At home, feeling damn good about itself. Outshot 2 teams, a combined 7-0 in 2 games at home. And after the game, the front office and the coaching staff were complaining and referencing Miles Wood taking an unnecessary penalty. This was not the way to respond. So here's where we are. They were upset about the Philly penalty. He takes a penalty in the third period, boneheaded play for cross-checking Elias Pettersson and breaking his stick on him. I think he broke his stick. I keep saying that, but I'm pretty sure he did. You can hear something snap, but I didn't exactly see it. When he does that, takes that penalty. the Avalanche go down 2-0. And while trying to fight back, he takes 4 minors. The offsetting is only 2. And the Avalanche go on another 4-minute PK. He gets a 10-minute misconduct in the process. They are playing with a shortened bench. Just a whole clusterfuck. I don't know where it goes from here. I'm a little, really curious to see what happens. I also would not be surprised, like, not that it's happening, but if Valeri Nichushkin was returning on Thursday, it would be the easiest decision for the Avalanche to say Miles Wood is sitting. It's not Juuso Pärssinen. It's not Parker Kelly. It's not Joel Kiviranta. It's Miles Wood. So again, I'm trying to save the conversations for after the Four Nations break begins. But there's a lot wrong with this team and a lot that needs to be fixed. And one of them is trying to figure out what the hell to do with Miles Wood on this team or beyond. And I'm not talking about like, where can you trade him? I'm talking like, how do you utilize him and not have this crap happen? Because he looked a hell of a lot better and was a lot more valuable last season than he has been this year. Obviously injuries, but even in the games he's been available, they have not always been great. So really curious to see what they do here. It's going to be an interesting week. I think that between the last two games being played and the trade talks starting to ramp up during this Four Nations break, there's a lot that's going to happen. And whether trades actually happen or there's just a ton of discussion leading into late February / early March after the Four Nations break, there's going to be a ton happening. So I'm really curious to see how that goes. But we got 2 more games first. We got the Calgary Flames, who are feeling pretty damn good about themselves. And oh, and by the way, they are right on your tail for that top wild card spot. Oh, and so is Vancouver. That was not a game you wanted to lose. The Vancouver Canucks have 2 games in hand on the Colorado Avalanche, and they're 5 points back. You got to win the games in hand when you have them. But if you do, you're 1 point back. Same with the Calgary Flames. The Calgary Flames have 2 games in hand and are 5 points back. So if the Avalanche lose tomorrow, they will have 3 points up on the Calgary Flames with Calgary having 2 games in hand, which means the Flames winning their 2 games in hand puts Colorado 8th place in the Western Conference. Of course, the Avalanche are also looking the other way. They're only 2 points back of the Minnesota Wild. They have the regulation win tiebreaker. They have the row tiebreaker, and that's with them still being 2 points back. And Minnesota has a game in hand, so they could be 4 points back if Minnesota wins their game in hand. On one hand, having Calgary and Vancouver on your tail is tough, but on the other hand, all you got to do is worry about Minnesota, because if you get Minnesota, Utah Hockey Club, you know, they're 11 points back. Yes, they have 2 games in hand, but, you know, you're pretty clear of them. You're 11 points clear of the St. Louis Blues. If you can beat the Minnesota Wild and catch them, nothing Vancouver or Calgary does matters, because you will be 3rd place in the Central Division, but also you kind of want to go into the playoffs playing a hell of a lot better than you are right now. 2025, the calendar year, has not been good for the Avalanche. After all the positive vibes that they had in December with the 2 new goaltenders and that winning streak that extended to January 2nd when they made that comeback against the Buffalo Sabres. So we're going to put an end to the show here. If you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little heart. I'll talk to you guys in a couple days. Let's make hockey for everyone. And we out, Joe.